بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. Tonight's special class is on rulings on pregnancy, childbearing, and abortion. As a concise reference, inshallah ta'ala. Know, may Allah's mercy be upon me and you, that the rulings on the pregnancies differ. Some of these rulings are established once pregnancy is established. From that, the permissibility of divorce after the legal sexual intercourse, since in this case the idda, the waiting period, would be the deliverance of the load. The second thing established once pregnancy is established is puberty, because there is no pregnancy except that it's preceded by hayd, the menstrual cycle. Third, the blood encountered in the state of the pregnancy is not a hayd blood, is not menstrual cycle blood, because the pregnant does not have a menstrual cycle, does not have hayd. Women know they are pregnant once the cycle ceases. The fourth matter which is established is once the woman is pregnant, then her idda, her waiting period, the idda, or she becomes from the woman whose idda is based upon hayd. Take for example, if the load is aborted in a miscarriage, for example, and then she is divorced after that, then her idda will be established by hayd. This is because when she became pregnant, it became now clear that she is from the woman who have the menstrual cycles. These are some or major matters affirmed with the affirmation of pregnancy. The second ruling established when the fetus is in a state of alaqa, the thick coagulated blood, and this is in accordance with one of the opinions, is forbidden to abort, and we will discuss later this matter. Third is what is considered or related to to the human formation in the fetus. In this case, certain matters are established. Once it becomes clear that there is human formation. First, postpartum bleeding, meaning nifas, is established. So if she aborts, then the encountered blood is a blood of nifas, postpartum bleeding. Second, if she delivers this load, and this load is in this state where human formation is clear, then her iddah, waiting period, is established. She finishes her iddah. So, if the pregnant woman is divorced while in the state of pregnancy, and then she delivers the load, and it becomes clear, or it is clear that the load has human formation, then she exits her iddah. She finishes that. Also, if her husband dies while in pregnancy, and then she delivers this form of fetus, then in this case, her iddah is completed, because the load is a human form. Also, what is established here is the diya, the blood money compensation. If transgression against the woman in the state of pregnancy leads to the abortion of the fetus in a human form, then the transgressor is held responsible for the diya. Fourth state is when the soul is breathed into the fetus. Certain rulings are established. These are: number one, the fetus must be washed, shrouded, and funeral prayer is to be established upon him, because this fetus is inviolable soul in this state. Second, obligation of fitra, zakatul fitr, the zakah following the completion of the month of Ramadan is due upon him. So he is included in the, or the fetus is included in the calculation of zakah, taken into consideration. Thirdly is the establishment of aqiqah. It is legal in this case to slaughter on his behalf for the birth of this child in this state, slaughtering two sheep if the child is a boy, and one sheep if the child is a girl. Fifthly, rulings pertaining to the state if the child is born alive, the fetus born alive. And these are the rulings pertaining to finances. They are established once the born is alive, like inheritance. These are major stages with their respective rulings. Now, is it permitted to abort the fetus? So, what about abortion? And could it be done before 40 days? And this is the state of mutfa, the mixed male and female sexual discharges, early state of development. Or alaqa, the thick coagulated flesh of blood. Or after the breathing of the soul. First, is it permissible to abort before 40? One opinion is that it is permissible. And they argued that this is still in a state of nutfa, the mixed male-female sexual discharge, and therefore it's not known whether it will continue to be a healthy growth or a spoiled one. And they argued also that this is like al-azl, like the state in azl. Azl is the legal sexual intercourse with penetration but ejaculation outside the private part. This is known as azl, and we know that azl is permissible. So they argue this is the same. The second opinion is that it is not permissible to abort in this state. And they argued that pregnancy now is established with certainty, and the possibility of the growth to be spoiled is like the possibility, is the same as the possibility after the breathing of the soul, whereby it could also be still that after the breathing of the soul that it is spoiled, does not continue the growth. And then they answered to the second argument of the first opinion concerning al-azl. They said that the azl, the ejaculation outside the private part, is warding off, while in this case this is a case of lifting and warding is easier than lifting, meaning precautionary measures. The correct opinion between these two is that of the first opinion, that it is permissible to abort. Second, if the fetus is in the state of alaqa, the thick coagulated blood, one opinion is that it is not permissible to abort this form, because they said that the alaqa, the thick coagulated blood, this is blood, and the blood is the substance of life. This is their argument. The second opinion is that it is permissible to abort because the blood in this case is worthless, and this form is not inviolable human, and therefore in origin it is permissible. Between these two opinions, the preponderating opinion is that it is permissible if needed, like the woman being weak physically, a time of pregnancy, like a woman having many children, like in the case of a state where a woman may be married to someone and then she discovers that it is very, very difficult to live with him, and she became pregnant. So she fears for trouble and problems. There could be also a need from the side of deen. For example, she finds out that the husband does not pray, and she attempted and exerted the effort genuinely to invite him to salah, but he refuses. In this case, she may abort. These are examples on what may constitute the need. Now, what about abortion after the breathing of the soul and the fetus? Here we have to deal with three situations. First situation, that number one, what is intended by aborting is destroying the fetus. We're talking about now the state of aborting after the breathing of the soul. Three cases here. Number one, if what is intended is the destroying of the fetus, then this is unlawful by ijma', by consensus. This is transgressing. Secondly, what's intended in the aborting is preserving the mother. So, in this case, if the aborting would destroy the fetus, this is unlawful. And it is reported also that this is a case of ijma', of consensus, because it is not permissible to kill a soul to preserve another one, and no soul can bear the sin of another or be responsible for the sin of another. And if the fetus is kept and the mother dies, then in this case this is not considered to be our action, not our intervention certainly. In contrast, if we do and we end up destroying the fetus, so if the fetus remains and the mother is destroyed due to that, then this is not in our action. This is relevant to the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third case, if what is intended in the aborting is preserving of the fetus, meaning if it would remain in the womb of the mother, then it would be destroyed alone or both, the fetus and the mother. This has two elements to it. Number one, there is no need for surgical intervention. In this case, it is permissible to intervene to preserve the fetus from destruction, and this is considered medical treatment, and this is allowable. For example, the mother be given a medicine that induces the labor so that the fetus is aborted and saved. This is permissible. The second element is if the need arises for surgical intervention. This case has four situations to it. Number one, the mother and the fetus are both alive. The mother and the fetus are both alive. Then in this case, it is permissible if it is needed. Like, similar to the cases of complications in pregnancy. So they say here, we need to intervene surgically. In this case, it is permissible. Second, if both the mother and the fetus are dead, both the mother and the fetus are dead, in this case, it is not permissible because there is no need. And in this case, resorting to surgical intervention would be deformation, and there is no benefit in all of that. The third situation, the mother is alive and the fetus is dead. Like, for example, if he dies in her womb, here it is permissible to conclude a surgical intervention because it is apparent that this is the only way to remove the fetus. Fourth situation, the mother is dead and the fetus is alive. One opinion is that it is not permissible to have the surgical intervention in this case because this would be a deformation. And this is the opinion of the school of thought of Imam Ahmad and the scholars, rahimahumullah, had this opinion because at their time they didn't have all the advanced medical tools we have in our times, and therefore the preponderating opinion is that it is permissible because of the progress in medicine to intervene to save a soul from destruction. And because the incision itself can be healed easily, given the technical advancement in the procedures. These are the situations whereby a surgical intervention may be needed. Now, if in the case there is pregnancy with a fetus which may be concluded that his state is a state of a fetus that has defects, so after certain tests performed, it may be concluded that if this fetus is born, then it may be defective or deformed in certain parts, etc. This situation is not totally perfect. The conclusions. Many cases are real, in which same conclusions were made and pregnancies came quite perfect. So this is a matter which is not certain 100%, and therefore it's concluded that the woman goes ahead with the pregnancy and depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this respect, I relate to you the situation whereby a sister was told the same thing after medical checkup and after the fourth month of pregnancy. So she called our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah and told him of the situation and whether she should resort to abortion. He said to continue and depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After she concluded her pregnancy and she gave birth to the child, she called the Shaykh and told him that this child born is the most beautiful amongst her children and most perfect in health. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. With this, therefore, we conclude the subject on rulings on pregnancy, childbearing and abortion, and the interrelated rulings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for everyone who listens to it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi وصحبه وسلم.